Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 326, episode 2 of
The Daily Zeit Geist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. And it is Tuesday, February 20th, 2024.
Yeah, yeah.
Gets me every time. One more way in the future.
February 2024.
Hot damn. 2024.
You know what that is?
A lot of twos, Miles. I can tell you that much.
Hey. It is. Too many twos. 22 twos. Is that a Jay-Z song? Anyway.
Too many twos.
National Leadership Day. National Comfy Day. Get comfortable. Okay. But that's also probably some branding shit. National Muffin Day. I tell you this. Big Muffin is not behind that one. National Love Your Pet Day. And National Cherry Pie Day. I think it warrants its own day.
Hey. Oh. She's mine.
Hell yeah.
And so on.
And so on, and
like
so
you can't
forth.
Remember. What's that summer?
She's my
cherry.
It's called cherry pie. What is it? It's like she's my
sweet, but my cherry
type
pie.
Jealous she's my type of guy.
Can't remember.
He's my type of guy. Super fly, super fly. Well, speaking of bad singing, my name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. This is Hudson News, you fucker. You'll be broke when we are done. Pay your three paychecks for Chex Mix. Why don't you cry some more? And then 45-minute guitar solo just with my mouth. That is courtesy of Lockeroni on the Discord, Little Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And shout out to Hudson News, Chex Mix. At least they're not consistent.
No.
I like that.
Yeah.
At least it's not $13 everywhere.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
It was like I said. Facts. Like I said, $4.99 to LAX. Couldn't believe it.
Right. I don't believe it. I can't believe it. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. the Lord of Lankershim. You already know. It's the real NoHo Hank, because I'm from NoHo, and you can take that to the bank. And I'm also bald, so that kind of also works, too. Anyway, shout out to just me in North Hollywood. I'm not out. I'm in the real world right now.
You're out and about in ATL, Georgia.
Yeah.
What do we do for you?
Exactly. I mean,
yeah.
If you look, like I said, I'm on that kryptonite, as everybody knows. So find me there.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you. It does.
Thank you so
like
much
I
for having me. Thank you so much.
Sound like
me.
I got a little jet lag, Joe Namath, in there. Are you feeling a little lag?
No, 3 hours is nothing. You know, I could care less about my. No, you know, I'm not. No, 3 hours isn't bad. I'm not like that one doesn't throw me off at all. 3 hours.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like the difference between like being a scumbag or having your shit together. It's like, oh, I just kind of slept in late or. Or you come back and you're like, yeah, man, I'm ready to go at fucking 6 in the morning.
Yeah. Not too mad at that.
I like that. I like my inability to deal with time changes being having my shit together. I appreciate that.
No, I'm saying the way it expresses itself. Like, yeah, yeah. Like when you're up earlier, it's not like I'm like, fuck, I'm all right. Up at like the, like a, you know, responsible morning person time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good for me because I'm not a morning person.
Well, Miles, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very talented producer, musician, streamer, esports commentator, one of the very first people to work on this show with us.
Yeah.
He's constantly streaming everything because he is that bitch on Twitch. Mm-hmm. He's our resident gaming expert. It's DJ Daniel Goodman!
Daniel! It's the before Zod!
DJ Daniel, a.k.a. East Coast Daniel, coming in live.
Beep, beep, I'm walking here.
Whoa. It's the man from New York, live in the mix.
Oh, no.
Yo.
Z100, Daniel, how is it going, yeah. My guy?
Z100 in the house.
That was incredible.
That was good.
Yeah.
And several other New York-related things.
Is Z100 New York? I forget. Yes. I've lived in so many. I had a Z93 in Dayton, Ohio. Shout out to Z93. Wow. That was the cool stage when I was like, you know, 12. But yeah, that brought me back, man.
Well, wait, so you're embracing, look, people who don't know, look, Daniel is West Coasting, you know, he's born and raised in LA, and now he's relocated to the Big Apple. And now
we shouldn't give away. Actually, we shouldn't give away his location like that. That's fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
he's in a big city in the East Coast.
You are in the Lower East Side, and you're on Houston.
Miles, we're not supposed to guests know that we have a tracker on them.
Yes, my bad.
Geolocating.
Wait, but I'm sorry. The thing that caught my attention is you're identifying as East Coast Daniel now, huh?
It's just kind of a joke because now that I've moved to the East Coast, my friends have said I'm more salty and they call me East Coast Daniel anytime I push back even a little bit in the Discord.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Like, no, that's East Coast Daniel coming out. I'm all right.
Salty ass. Always. Yeah.
Sorry, I had to wear a jacket today. All right.
Tried to wear a jacket today. Yeah, exactly. My feet became Tim's. It's crazy.
Quite literally.
Foot is a Tim now. It's an all black Air Force One.
Facts. Oh yeah, I'm really selling drugs out here with my all black forces.
Ooh, there you go.
Catch me on the corner.
Have you? I don't know if you saw. There's like this whole wave of like older people on social media who are discovering what the all like black on black Air Force One means. There's like a teacher. I saw this like principal TikTok, which is like, yeah, my students are like complimenting my sneaker game, and then some people just started being like, oh, you're trouble. And she's like, I thought I just had a cool sneaker on, and then I found out this is a goon shoe.
That's funny.
I was associated with referees and priests.
Fair.
Black on black sneaker.
Right. Wear black on black sneakers? They're not wearing the leather shoe?
I mean, they like sometimes, most often, I'd say they wear the like
Etonic all black.
Yeah, medically designed all black sneaker. Yeah. You know, got like nurse shoes or whatever. But I've definitely seen. I remember growing up in the church. Mm-hmm. Thinking like, why do priests and referees shop at the same shoe store?
How come you never see them together at the same time?
My priest is God's referee. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Daniel, I don't think I have to tell you this now that you're on the East Coast, but stay prayed up. Bro.
Stay prayed up, man. Stay prayed up, bro. Please, bro.
All right. Bro. Stay prayed
up. I doubled over in my chair at stay prayed up. That was
stay prayed up. I mean, that's like a week and a half old at this point, but
yeah,
no, that's fair. Yeah,
rather than eat, pray, love, stay prayed up.
Stay prayed up.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Daniel, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, let's tell the listeners just like what you're here to talk about today. I can you know say we've been having AI and tech experts on.
Yeah,
and
they don't fuck all when we're like, when does a new GTA come out? They can't fucking answer.
Thank you. Thank you. Say that.
Fucking loser,
yeah, doctor. Why do you keep putting doctor in quotes whenever you say
it? Just because I didn't know.
Yeah, doctor. When's the new GTA come out then if you're so fucking smart?
Hey,
yeah.
Sing the lyrics to the ASAP Rocky song that's on the GTA 5 track soundtrack. Go, go,
go.
No.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, in between doom and gloom conversations about like job loss and conversations asking, hey, you remember in Terminator 2 when Terminator's like, come with me if you want to live? Remember that? Is that going to happen? We asked one, I think it was our first AI expert. Yeah. We asked him what made him hopeful. You know, what's the good thing that AI could bring to the world?
Right.
And he was like, I'm a gamer, and I think it's going to make games sick, mate.
Yeah.
And so I'm just kind of viewing that you are plugged into the world of gaming.
Yes.
I'm excited to talk to you about like where we're at in this moment. You know, AI hasn't fully plugged into the gaming world, but it seems like there's a lot of cool shit on the horizon.
It's on its way.
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to get a gaming insider's point of view. But before we do any of that bullshit, Daniel, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Well, recently, my most recent one was IKEA Eket Help Reddit. Because let me tell you something, there's no better place to learn about the things you're doing wrong when you're building something on IKEA than to search the name of the device or thing plus help plus Reddit. Because when you're building five of the same cabinet and you fuck up the first one, you're like, I have to see what I did wrong here and come back and try again.
I have to see what Reddit has to say.
Did you do?
I had to see.
I mean, as someone who would do a lot of like promotional marketing and have to like buy cheap IKEA stuff for a display, I know this product well. It's a cabinet. Yes.
And the two-door cabinet with shelf.
Yeah, or the even more minimal one, which is like the one cube box that sometimes people would use for like a cool product display. What went wrong with, I believe that is a simple assembly, but what had occurred?
It is a simple assembly. I will say the small squares are shockingly simple. They are. But the thing about the two-door shelf one is that if you don't level those doors correctly, if you don't level that shelf correctly before you put those doors in, you're getting some doors that are like that.
Yeah.
You get some doors that are like that. You look back and you're like, fuck.
Doors that are
what did we
what?
Do wrong?
Off kilter. Doors
that blind. I can't see anything.
Doors that are like you close it and one is just a little bit above the other and it's enough so that it's like I can't look at that all the time.
Yeah.
They need to be level.
Yeah.
And it's only when you go to Reddit and search the actual instructions that someone tells you, yeah, you know how they tell you to do it in this order? Don't do it in that order.
Oh,
don't put
shit.
The little things that hold things in place in the middle. Only do that at the end when you're holding everything in place, you have the doors level, then slip in the little black clips that hold everything in place. Because otherwise, you will have it in not level, you won't have your doors set in yet, and the whole thing could look fucked up. And that's what happened. So, you know, a little disappointing argument later, we figured it out, and then we basically built four cabinets in the time it took us to build the first cabinet.
Okay. Wow. And you and your lovely partner did survive an IKEA debacle?
We did. We did.
Good for you.
We
did. Good for you.
Because I know it was we and you know what we're stronger for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Damn.
But it was
there
good
are
to
tears
hear that.
Pouring down his face.
Love to hear that. Love to hear that.
That's for you guys.
Yeah. Were you able to like unbuild and reassemble the one that didn't? Because I've had some issues with IKEA stuff where it's like, well, we're fucked now.
Exactly.
The wooden pin or the little wooden nub that held this in place
broke
is irrevocably fucked.
I can't
get that out. We're done. This is just how we live now.
Thankfully, with a little flat iron or flat iron screwdriver. Or no, what was it called?
Flathead.
Yeah, flathead. Thank you. Flat iron is, wow, I'm so New York pilled.
I know.
So fucking New York,
Jesus
dog.
Christ. Fucking New York pilled over here. Flathead screwdriver. I was able to pull out some of those black pins and able to kind of recenter the whole thing and then slip them back in. So it was no big deal. It just took a little bit of Redditing and a little bit of, come on.
How did what's you that one? Beforehand? What's that one? The Statue of Liberty head screwdriver?
Nah,
Phillips. Phillips is Phillips head. Sorry. I thought it was the Statue of Liberty because I'm from New York here.
You got me.
I'm screwing Yankees here.
Head screwdriver.
Yankees head. Exactly. I'm more of a Mets head screwdriver. Hey.
Living in the Boroughs or something. Anyways, this is wildly offensive to anybody from New York.
What I would get beat up instantly on these streets. I'm surprised I haven't already. Anyway,
hey, it's the Flatiron screwdriver guy.
Flatiron.
Very good.
Man. You're going to park your car somewhere and turn around, and then when you come back, it's just going to be on bricks.
Yep.
And,
Yeah.
That's classic.
Your zip car.
Classic.
They're going to break down your zip car, man.
Exactly.
What's something you think is overrated?
Overrated. Fancy chili crisp. I've been seeing a lot of these as I'm doing my shopping. I've been seeing a lot of Fly by Jing. I've been seeing a lot of these other chili crisp companies that are charging like $15 for a tiny little bottle of chili crisp. And I'm like, please scoot over Lao Gan Ma only, please.
Wow.
Getting a big old jar for the fridge. Because as you know, being a New York guy now, we had to rebuild an entire pantry. And one of the most crucial items in my pantry is, of course, the Lao Gan Ma chili crisp.
If it ain't got, if it ain't got that face on it, bro. You know what I'm saying? We only do a big face chili crisp big jars face. Out here.
Big okay. faces only.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those things where it's like you go to the store and you see like six different kinds that are all four times as much as a smaller, as like the same size bottle of Lao Gan Ma. I'm like, why even do this? Why even try and sell this product that is so like far inferior to the OG Lao Gan Ma? So. Shout out Lao Gan Ma. This is more like, here's the thing. It's like, it's almost an underrated, but it's not. Because Lao Gan Ma is, I think, perfectly rated. It's that all of this other shit is completely overrated.
Yeah. It's just one of those things, too, where it's like, if you're used to buying chili crisp or cooking with it, and then like this, because I know like the person I think is from like Chengdu or her family's from Chengdu who does Fly by Jing. Mm-hmm. Where you're kind of like, but there is already a version of that. And I get the marketing's better for this, but
sure.
Okay. But that's how so many things are.
Yeah.
Welcome to the new world, man.
Amen. Amen.
God, the Lao Gan Ma logo is like, it's great. Like the woman is just looking without any
completely deadpan
joy. Just, dead eyed.
Yeah.
Like just couldn't care less for me. As I look at this, just like...
It's like, why are you interrupting me? I'm making chili crisp. It's like, I needed to take a picture for the logo.
It's so authentically, like, just something that could not have possibly been created in the United States.
Right.
No.
Exactly.
Well, because you need sort of like, this happens like, I feel like with my older Asian relatives, they don't know how to pose for a picture. Like, pose for one. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They'll be in a fucking picture, but they don't know, they don't pose. Like, I feel like every time I take, like, pictures of my aunts and uncles, they're just like, and we're looking at the camera, and it's over. But there's no, like, cheese, like, let me do, like, a fucking pose or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this one just truly has, when you're looking off camera, too, like she is on the jar, it's a power move.
Yeah, just like 1,000-yard stare, no smile. Like, not a face that is not currently smiling, a face that has not smiled in maybe decades. Just
the furrowed brow is like, sorry, I got my eye on a batch I'm cooking up right now.
Truly,
are we done here?
Truly.
Yeah.
Thank you. I need to get cooking.
Mm. There's also, there's a European, maybe it's... I don't know exactly. I saw it a lot in Italy, but a European beer brand that I drank a lot when I was young and in Italy. And the guy on the logo appears to be weeping into his beer. Like he looks so sad.
Oh, Moretti?
Great.
Yeah, Moretti. Yeah.
What, he's got like the mug like this?
Yeah. He's like, just couldn't look any sadder. But in America, like you look at the Quaker Oats guy and he... Like, he's just like, he looks so pleased to see you. And it's just like, that was probably, it went through a huge round of design and focus group testing. Be like, can we make his smile a little bit more serene? A little bit more like just letting you know everything's going to be all right and that, death doesn't come for us all? Could we just let him? And that's what I get from the Quaker Oats guy. It's like, what if we got somebody whose smile was so serene that even though he looks like the Poltergeist guy, he like kind of erases your memory of the Poltergeist guy? And he's just like happy, gives you happy memories of the Poltergeist guy.
Amazing.
All right. What is, what's something you think is underrated?
This one was easy. Buffalo chicken dip. Now, I know some of you are thinking, I think it's perfectly rated. I think people really like it. And I'm like, I agree with you. However, I see it at far too few Super Bowl parties, at far too few 4th of Julys, at far too few events where buffalo chicken dip would be a perfect thing to have on your appetizer table. You could take a scoop, put it on your plate, dip it yourself. You could take a chip straight to the Le Creuset or whatever kind of pot you have it in. Just like you need to be having buffalo chicken dip at so many of these different occasions because it is a 100% hit rate dip. It combines buffalo chicken taste, wings that, you know, are, I think, one of the most favorable finger foods there are.
God, it's dip. Chicken wings yesterday.
So I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay, more on that in a second. It's a dip, so it's so easily accessible, something you can eat as much of or as little of as you want. Just want a little bit of buffalo chicken dip? Take one chip to it, and boom, you've had your taste, and it's good. It also only has 4 ingredients, and that right there is enough to make it one of the best dips you can possibly have. It is so easy to make. It takes 10 minutes. You can get everything at literally any grocery store.
Yeah.
And it's goated. Buffalo chicken dip, underrated. It should be at every party.
Wow.
My one complaint with Buffy Chicky Dip is it when it gets cold, it gets pretty solid. It makes it hard for my chips.
It's one of those things that you may have to throw back in the oven. I've done that before where I've made a big old thing of Buff Chick Dip. We've gotten halfway through. It's gotten halftime of the Super Bowl. We're watching Rihanna and we're like, I think we need to throw this back in the oven while we're watching Rihanna. And then we take it out for the third quarter and people are like, ooh, revitalize. But you're absolutely right. You're 100%
hell
right.
Yeah.
It gets thick quick.
That's the hard. That's the only thing. That's the only knock against it. Because like there are times you pull up, you're like, oh, it's buffalo chicken dip. And then you break your fingers. You're trying to dip something in it. And you're like, what the fuck? And you're like, that's why you should have came when it came out, man.
That's fair. It takes management. But you know what? I think you could say something similar about most hot dips. Hot dips in general have that quality where it's like it is their melty quality that makes them good. And once they get to that solid or that like room temp, you're like, this spinach artichoke dip needs to go back in for a little bit or something like that.
Yeah.
It is kind of the quicker, thicker, chipper, chicker dipper.
Mm-hmm.
But
TM.
Sorry, I was working that out over here on my math sheet, my scrap paper.
I did say 4 ingredients, though. I'm just going to share them with anybody who's hearing this and doesn't want to go look it up for themselves or find some overcomplicated chicken dip that's going to tell you to do too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
1 whole rotisserie chicken, 2 packets of cream cheese, the regular kind, or whatever kind you want. You can go less fat if you want
to. Packets? Yeah,
like you know when you get like one of those, you know, like a bricks. Square, like a rectangle, a brick.
2 bricks.
Like a rectangular brick.
Bro. Yeah. Hey, use the real fucking language, bro. 2 bricks of
the Philly.
Cream
the Philly
bricks.
2 Philly bricks.
2 Philly bricks.
Yeah, 2 Philly bricks of cream cheese. 1 cup of Frank's Red Hot. 1 cup of ranch, your choice.
Nope.
Mix it all together. No?
Can't do Frank's Red Hot. Sorry.
Okay. Well, okay. Then any kind of specifically vinegar-based hot sauce, if you want to go crystal. Louisiana or crystal, Red Rooster crystal, or anything
crystal,
like that,
crystal,
also crystal totally crystal, works as well. That's
okay,
fine.
Sorry. I just had to add that. Am I anti-Frank?
Mm-hmm. It's important. No, I appreciate that. It's important. Blue cheese crumbles. And the blue cheese crumbles are strictly to sprinkle throughout. So you take the rotisserie chicken, strip it down, throw it in there. Then you throw in the cream cheese, make sure it's room temp so it's easier to spread. Then you throw in the ranch and the hot sauce, really mix that up. And then when you're plating it, do a bottom layer, buffalo cheese crumble, or blue cheese crumbles. Another layer, blue cheese crumbles. Another layer, blue cheese crumbles. And if you want to top it off with some other shredded cheddar or some other mix, go off. I don't think it needs it. But that's your buffalo chicken dip. Throw it in the oven, 20 minutes at 400. You're good.
And you are going to want to carry those bricks of Philly in a briefcase.
In a briefcase.
And exchange those for Kerrygold butter pads.
There you go.
Which we have discussed is a fair currency.
Yeah, the currency
of this podcast.
And also, when you buy the bricks at the store, if they're not saran wrapped in Vaseline, that's not the right kind, bro.
You're
going
to have to cut those with a little pocket knife and taste them. There
put your finger in there.
Exactly.
And then go, nah, this shit's been
your gums.
This shit's been stepped on like a fucking tap dancing stage, bro.
All right. Let's by the way, I was hoping this would be our dumbest expert episode, and I think we're well on track. We're in a good place to make this possible.
Thanks.
All right. Let's take not that you're our dumbest expert, but
I probably am. Let's be real.
No, the one where we indulge our zanier sides, we're not caught in between having serious conversations with academics or high-minded people who barely know us. And we thread the needle of like, okay, don't put them off so much that they're like, that was a waste of my time.
T-1000 or the Arnold. Who you got?
There you go.
Yeah.
Who you got? Hey, doctor, who you got?
Are we going to talk about my Nobel Prize-winning work?
Yeah, in a second. Yeah. And that's why I want to ask you who you got.
You think when she was holding on to that chain link fence when the blast hits, that she could still be holding on to the gate and be like, ah, and then the flesh is coming off her bones? I think she just blow right off the fence, right, doctor?
Or is it a Crypt Keeper situation? I mean, they're giving Crypt Keeper vibes. What do we got? That shit turns her into a Crypt Keeper right fast.
No.
Love it.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. Woo. And yeah, wow. So I don't know. I have this like two ways of thinking of AI and like technological progress in general. On the one hand, when it's like coming from a corporate overlord and they're like, it's going to make humans irrelevant. It's going to make everything so fast and easy. It kind of becomes nightmarish and reductive. But when I hear, first of all, when I just hear anybody talking about actually working with the AI, the thing that gets them excited is like, I get to play with this thing. Like, it's fun right. to play with. And then, right. yeah, like as we were saying before, when our AI experts came on, they were like, they're going to be like, AI is going to make video games more fun to play. Like, it's, you're going to have a toy that can like, kind of be your own little playmate that gets better and more fun to play with. But just generally, I guess, before we get into the future of gaming, I was curious if you could give us just like a snapshot overview. Where are we at right now? 30 seconds. Go. No, I'm just joking.
Well, no, I appreciate that.
Please tell Jack where he is. He's confused. Yeah. No, where are we at?
Mexico or Egypt? I'm not quite sure.
So, somewhere.
Okay, Mr. President.
That is where half the games are set right now. No. So
you know, when you sent me the prompt for this episode, it did send me on an interesting path of kind of exploring where AI was in video games. And I thought it was important to kind of set up, like you are asking for, where video games are now and actually what the last 4 or 5 years of video games have been to get to the point where we are now. Because the short answer to your question is, we are actually on the cusp of AI really taking a place in video games. We are seeing it ever so slightly in something we're going to talk about later, a very popular game right now called Pal World. And I'm sure that there are some listeners who are saying, oh, I know what this is going to be about. And some of you that are saying, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'll also
the
say
open
this.
World Pau Gasol game where you can leave different versions of Pau Gasol.
Pau right? Gasol.
Pau Gasol. Oh,
no. Pau World. Yeah. No, I'm familiar. I've been saying they needed to invent this for a long
time. Yeah, and then you're raising Kobe's daughters as your own.
Really cool. Jesus Christ. Jesus. Okay, anyway. Oh,
no. I mean, that's, so, there's so much. Never mind. People who don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay, anyway. I just want to talk about how video games used to be, what video games were like for me growing up and for most people growing up. Video games were $60, $50 to $60 for one video game. What you played really depended on what your friends were playing. I bought a console because all my friends were playing X. I bought my first console because a lot of my friends were playing Mario and Zelda. And then a bunch of my friends were playing Final Fantasy, but I missed out on that because I didn't have a PlayStation. I had an N64. PlayStation 2 because a lot of my friends were playing Devil May Cry and games like that. But because of that, I missed out on Super Smash Bros. Melee because I didn't have a GameCube. Mm-hmm. This story is kind of tale as old as time because, you know, I think most kids probably grew up in a one console at a time household. To those who had multiple consoles, you know, props to you. I'm happy to hear that. Most of us read
so
a one
many
thing
friends,
at
but they didn't really like you. They didn't really like you.
Exactly. Another thing that was a big part of the, you know, kind of origins of multiplayer video gaming was very limited internet connectivity. It wasn't until the OG Halo 2, one of the very first console games to offer online connectivity and multiplayer, that people were really starting to play with each other outside of their couches and outside of their houses. And that's kind of how gaming used to be. Gaming was very much playing on your couch with your friends. It was, I have this console, that's all I can play. I got this because all my friends are playing this. It was very limited. It wasn't a super democratized place because it was so focused on what you had or what your friends had. And like, you know, I don't want to say peer pressured, but you wanted to play with your buds. So you kind of had to adhere to what was the thing at the time. And that's what gaming really used to be. And over the last couple of years of gaming, we have seen an incredible shift in that dynamic. We have seen a huge push for things being cross-platform, things being on not just Xbox and PlayStation, but also on mobile phones, on Switch, on PC, mm-hmm. being able to play with anybody, anywhere, thanks to games like Fortnite or even PUBG to a certain extent. We also saw the rise in esports, people being able to participate in the culture of video games without actually having to play them, being able to watch people. And esports even goes into like Twitch streaming and stuff like that. The culture of video games being something that you can participate in even if you don't have that console, even if you don't have time to play that game, you can still participate because you have access to what that game looks like, what it feels like, because you're watching pros or you're watching somebody do a Let's Play. We've also seen different genres of video games create a world that works for pretty much everybody. And what I mean by that is there's people that look at video games as strictly things like Call of Duty or Madden. It's like your simulation shooting or sports video game experience. But in the last couple of years, we've seen games like The Last of Us. We've seen games like Baldur's Gate 3. We've seen games like Death Stranding, these single player experience games that offer some of the most rich storytelling, some of the most avant-garde art ever seen in video games, and some of the most deep kind of character creative experiences, allowing hundreds of different permutations of experiences such that your experience playing the same game could be completely different to somebody else's. You're seeing the world of video games open up doors for anybody who wants to get into them in any capacity. It's not just about what your friends have anymore. It's about how you want to experience this new storytelling art form in any capacity you want to. And those are what the last couple of years have really, really opened up for video games. Another thing that has opened up is the ability to create video games. Another thing that you asked me about, and you know, a little not spoiler alert, but a little behind the curtain for everybody here. Jack had a bunch of questions that were put into the doc that we have for this episode, and they were awesome, awesome questions. And I do want to get to all of them,
thank you so much.
I wanted to lay this groundwork for like where video games have been and where they are now, because that is kind of crucial to understanding why certain things are important, or like why certain games become important, and why they enter the zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to start with first is the genre of the Battle Royale. In 2017, a game called PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds came out. It was a modified version of Arma 3 by this dude who went by PlayerUnknown. I can't remember his real name right now. I could look it up later. I'm not going to. It's not important, because his title as PlayerUnknown is really what's important. The Battle Royale genre is a game where 100 people drop into an open world at the same time, pick up weapons off the ground, and shoot each other till there's one last person standing. When you're that last person standing, winner, winner, chicken dinner. And the reason that game is so important is because it brought us the Fortnite that we know today.
Right.
Fortnite is just basically that, right?
Like, Fortnite is just basically that. But the reason that Fortnite is so important to this equation is because not only did Fortnite see what was going on with that, Fortnite was part of the reason that was even able to happen. Fortnite is made by the company Epic Games. Epic Games created what's called the Unreal Engine, and the Unreal Engine is how a lot of video games are made. PUBG was made on the Unreal 4 engine. We are now currently on the Unreal 5 engine. And so Epic Games was making money off of every Battle Royale that was made on Unreal 4. Basically, it was making money off of PUBG, being like, damn, there's a lot of money coming off this shit.
Right.
We have to completely transfer.
PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds.
PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah. Okay.
We have to change what we're doing and make Fortnite that. Fortnite originally, in its open beta, was not that at all. It was still this whole building game, but it was kind of like a build yourself a big tower to survive waves and waves of these like Pixar-like looking zombies who are going to attack your base. That was the original game. It was called Save the World. Then they made the Battle Royale,
like,
and
Minecraft,
truly the rest is history.
Bit, right?
It is kind of, I mean, like a little Minecrafty, kind of like a tower defense Minecraft kind of thing. And the building was just super unique.
Yeah.
But that genre unlocked something for a lot of people, because what that said was, there's shooting, there's building. Why are we not mixing genres more often? Why are we not taking these kinds of games that exist already and just kind of combining them?
Right.
Why aren't we like putting two things together to make this kind of new genre of game? Because it doesn't necessarily have to be super pretty. It honestly doesn't even need to run well. It's if the concept itself is unique, that's going to make people want to play it. And then the money is going to come in from that. And then we can just keep going. And that's like a big part of where games are going today in general.
Like mashing up genres.
Mashing up genres.
And then, like, taking advantage of new technology, like greater connectivity.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because so, everything I see from, no, just everything I see from Unreal Engine 5 is, like, frightening.
It's so nuts.
Much better.
It's nuts.
Like, how it's such a huge step in how, like ray tracing and the light, mm-hmm. like, all the mechanics of how lighting is perceived in games and stuff like that. I didn't realize that was sort of the inroad for them to be like, oh man, like, look at what they're doing with the tools that we've created. Let's just iterate on this. And that's because for me, I'm mostly like a tentpole AAA sort of, I'm an old head, you know, like I come from the era of like Nintendo Power, and a magazine was like, these are the three games that come out this year. And like, yes, totally. Versus now. And I always hit you up too, because I'm so off, like, I'm not, like, I just don't pay attention to indie games or other titles or things that, because in my mind, I'm like, free means it's bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? Rather than free means it's also ubiquitous and it's now has the largest user base and they have other ways to make money. But yeah, I have many sort of points of ignorance when it comes to sort of like understanding like where this is headed. So now, because of that, it sort of normalized this idea of like, well, let's take all the elements we know of games and we start making games like this versus like, I drew this character during an acid trip. Right. And I think this could be like the whole franchise. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, one of the AI innovations that feels like it makes the most sense to me, I guess, is that it might affect people's ability to like code quickly, write code quickly. That's mm-hmm. something that you hear people who can write code talk about. But I guess, like, which would make it more possible, like, easier for somebody with a vision right. to, like, build a game, right? right? Without the backing of, like, these AAA companies.
Totally.
But, yeah, so I'm always intrigued by just hearing about, like, indie games that mm-hmm. are doing cool, like, intriguing new things about, like, what it means to play games.
Yeah.
But are there... You know, what are some of the games, some of the mashups that you've seen recently that you see on the horizon that are changing video games from a medium where you control a little fucker who runs around on an imaginary world and picks up coins? Exactly. That's the only one that I know.
Exactly.
I'm a bit of an old head myself.
I love it. So there's, you know, I want to say that while there are a lot of these games that are, you know, true mashups, I think it's also important to highlight the games that are still revolutionizing these in just like mainstay genres. Single player RPG games, which feels like ground we have tread so much over and over and over, just to shout out Baldur's Gate 3 again, is like a whole new thing. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Alan Wake 2, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, a sequel to Star Wars, Jedi Fallen Order,
mm-hmm.
one of the best Star Wars games yet. It's like we're still, and even Spider-Man 2, the Spider-Man Ooh. 2018 game, and then Spider-Man 2 that came out this year. We're taking this genre of single player game and just keep on refining it and making better and better games, taking ground that feels like it's already so tread, and then still making something absolutely incredible. And by the way, all those games I just listed were just from last year. Like right. 2023 was such an absolutely Huge. Mind-blowing year for video games.
But so you said like Baldur's Gate 3, like what?
Yeah.
Maybe the best RPG of all time in sure. your notes here. Like what makes it that, like what are you finding yourself doing in that game? Like what's mind-blowing about it?
So Baldur's Gate 3 is basically a video game version of Dungeons & Dragons. It plays entirely on the Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition, 5th like extended edition rule set. And so... what feels like this kind of very like, you know, rule based sitting with your friends, looking through books kind of game experience has been turned into this super deep world with a seemingly infinite number of possibilities. When you're playing, you create your own character. You're choosing from a bunch of different races and abilities and like, you know, classes and all this stuff. And you are creating your own experience by how you interact with the world around you, all based within the rule set of Dungeons and Dragons. And a lot of people will hear Dungeons and Dragons and be like, I'm not about that shit, too complicated. There's a way that this game offers you so many controls and makes a super, super complex multi-book rule set into something that is much easier to kind of control and understand.
Right.
And that challenge in itself was such an undertaking that Baldur's Gate 3 hit so well that it has just completely taken over the RPG game. And by the way, RPG is short for role-playing game. So you're picking your role and playing through it in this world. Baldur's Gate is a three-act game. You're playing in three different like places in the game. It's multiple places, but you're going through three acts. It's a three-act story. And as you play through it, you make choices that completely affect your entire playthrough. And everybody's experience is different depending on what choices you make or where you go. And it's not the kind of thing where it's like, I chose one of three paths. It's anybody who I've talked to who's played the game has played it a different way with a different outcome. I'm talking hundreds of yeah. different ways.
Are you like playing with more... people, like just other people? Sure. Or is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can play as a team of four, or, and this is the big thing, you can play by yourself offline. You don't even need to be online. And that's something that just feels like it doesn't exist anymore in gaming. This kind of like truly right. single player offline experience when so many other games like require you to be online. You can play couch co-op. You can play with somebody right next to you. Like you can just play it together or play it completely by yourself and have this unique experience and play around with these pre-made characters that have their own storylines that you can even romance. You can be like, you know, one of them is a cleric who can turn into a bear and you can have sex with the bear. You can have sex with the bear. A druid, not a cleric.
You can have sex with the bear. You can have sex with the
bear. You can have sex with the bear.
There. You know? I mean,
come on.
That is on the front of the game.
That is on the front. Yeah. But anyway,
you can have sex with the bear. You can have sex with the bear.
You can have sex with the bear. But back to the question you were asking about these new types of games, you're also seeing these indie, you're also seeing like different types of games getting a new life to them. I'm sure you guys have heard of games like Pokemon or Magic the Gathering. I'm talking card games. You have it. There you go. You have a deck.
Leave them behind. Leave them behind, Daniel.
There you go. You got a deck of cards. It's too late. Each card is either like, you know, it gives you the power to do something.
Explain mana to him. I think there you go. Explain mana to him.
Exactly. Let's go step anyway, by step. The point is, like card games have existed on, you know, in video games as well. You've had like Hearthstone, even the Magic the Gathering has its own online game. But now you have a new version called Marvel Snap that you play on your phone, and it's a new take on the card battler. You even have a game made by Riot Games, who makes League of Legends. It's called Teamfight Tactics, and it almost plays like a card game that also plays like chess. Some people call it auto chess. And like you may remember from Star Wars A New Hope, when Chewie and Obi-Wan Kenobi are playing that like chess game where like
on the round board, the holographic things,
that is this game. But imagine that you have like cards with abilities and you're placing your little tokens on a board, and depending on where they're placed, you just watch them battle it out. It's an auto chess style game. Completely new, never existed before like 4 years ago. Just a completely different style of game. You have these indie games like this new one that just came out called Lethal Company, where it's honestly just a spooky game where you walk around these completely barren lands picking up ingredients to go sell them, but there's no map. All your communication is through your in-game microphone, your weird spaceman, and you could be attacked by aliens at any moment. That game is not a genre that exists. It's not like, oh yes, of course, just like this other game or whatever. Right. It's these kind of just like concept games that people have the ability to make because they're so much, because they're like smaller, because they don't take as much work. Another example is this other game, Phasmophobia, which is a ghost hunting game. You walk into a building with a walkie-talkie, and you're like, hello, are you here? And depending on if the ghost hears you, it might respond to you.
Nah,
you might
see with your flashlight. I don't like that you concept, because I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Yeah. Also, it doesn't interest us, and that's why we were going to ask you to stop talking about it, because it doesn't scare us, and it doesn't even make us like interested. We're just like,
What's that game called so I can not remember it ever?
Yeah, exactly.
Phasmophobia.
No, thanks.
Can I ask you a serious question, though, Daniel?
Yes. Good ghost.
Okay, so like, there's this scene in Terminator 2 where Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's trying to figure out what's going on and whether or not Edward Furlong's family is okay. And he asks him what his dog's name is. And he goes, hey, Janelle, what's wrong with Wolfie? And then she's like, Wolfie's just fine. And he goes, your foster parents are dead. Is that kind of like gaming inside the Terminator's brain? Is that the kind of AI stuff we can?
Thank you for asking the question.
Perfect.
And this is this is why we're good, because like that's the question that every listener was actually thinking right then.
How did he figure that out? Hey, go. What's your dog? He goes. What's your dog's name? And goes. What's wrong with fucking straight up game theory? That shit.
Gamed him right there.
But the dog's name. He just asked him what it was, and then he said a different name.
A different name, and he knew. Are there any, so right now with AI though, now back to the non-serious stuff. Is AI being used to speed along the development games, or we're not quite there yet? Or are people just using, are they cutting corners with AI? Because I'm still like, because I know in the episode that Jack's talking about with Dr. Joao Sadok, he was talking about how like the capability, like it could make NPCs much richer, like a much more rich environment when you have non-playable characters have like these kinds of, you know, chat bot levels of intellect or whatever, or intelligence, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But like, in
who tricked New York Times author columnists into thinking that they want to fuck him?
Right.
Hot.
Oh my
God.
What?
I wanted me to leave my wife.
Like, how much AI is being used to either develop games, like to speed things along, or to integrate that with like actual characters involved, or how much is just using AI to just rip other stuff off and then be like, here's a game. It's so AI ripoff.
A really contemporary example of exactly what you're talking about, unfortunately, in the cutting corners, ripping stuff up department, is this game, Pal World.
Yeah.
Pal World is a game developed.
P-A-L-W-O-R-L-D.
Okay. Pal World. Pal World is a new game for Xbox and PC developed by a company called Pocket Pair, whose last game was called Craftopia. And Pal World is more or less an open world crafting survival Pokemon game. And you open up this game, you press play, and you wake up on a beach surrounded by three Pokemon that I'll just say this. If you were somebody who played the first Pokemon and you're like, well, I know the first 150 Pokemon pretty well. I know what they all look like, but I haven't played in years. And there's literally been hundreds of Pokemon since then. There's no way that you could tell the difference between the creatures, the pals in this game and Pokemon of today. They're
so it's not real Pokemon.
Rips.
They didn't work with Pokemon.
They did not at all.
Yeah, in fact,
the CEO of Palworld's developer, Pocket Pair, he's huge into AI generation. He had a whole series of tweets about how, you know, honestly, using GPT-4 will make game development so much faster. Here's a list of Pokemon that I just developed by, you know, talking to GPT and having it, you know, generate all these images. And this is really well documented online of him just talking about how great this generation quality is. And it's raising, and here's the thing, it's raising a ton of suspicion because it's like the CEO of the game company is like, look how easy this is to do. And then they release a game that is a survival crafting game, which is very popular right now, and I can talk about that in a sec, but these Pokemon characters, they just don't look that different from Pokemon
at
all.
They're so... Have you seen that one RDC World sketch?
No.
You know, okay, but RDC World? It's like those black sketch comedians that, like, they'll usually do stuff that'll wrap up, like, an NBA season. They'll be, like, inside the 76ers locker room, and, like, they just do kind of character. But anyway, they had one about Palworld, and it was like a sketch where the dude was playing the lawyer for them. He's like, dude, what? He's like, bro, these are Pokemon. What are you doing?
Literally.
These are not even, this is not, and it seems so blatant where I'm like, how can you even, like, I guess, to someone like, I'm familiar with Pokemon. I didn't play it, but I know the characters and I know the style very well. So when I see it, I'm like, how can this stand?
Yeah. It's the kind of thing where I think it's one of those things where, you see it a lot in movies a little bit. You see it in TV a little bit where there are these concepts that are very, very popular. I know there's times where we've seen two movies that are very similar come out around the same time that are like, you know, it was that movie that was Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis and that like...
Friends with Benefits and No Strings Attached.
Bam! Thank you. Two movies that are basically
the Illusionist and the Prestige.
Boom! Bam. Exactly. You're
Deep
seeing
Impact,
these
Armageddon.
Boom! Thank you very much. Classic.
E.T., Mac and Me.
Boom.
Boom. There we go. Yeah. These kinds of games
are just...
Can you
tell that we're more comfortable thinking about movies than video games?
Yes.
I would keep doing this for 45 minutes.
I knew I made the right example.
Your foster parents are dead. Boom. Yes.
This is what's happening with video games right now. This is what happens where there's a concept that comes out. And right now, it's called survival crafting. You had a game like Valheim, doesn't mean anything, but it's Viking crafting survival. You have V Rising, which is Dracula crafting survival. You had Fortnite, which made their own as a collab with Lego. That's Lego crafting survival. Palworld is Pokemon crafting survival. Another one is Enshrouded, which is like witches and wizards crafting survival. They're all the exact same game that are trying to drill down into what do people really want to play that's some variation of the style of game.
Is Minecraft the original crafting survival?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Minecraft
so it's all
is the
like
OG.
Minecraft.
Boom.
Because that was like a thing that... Like that Minecraft took me a little while to get my head around because I'm like, wait, why are people building though?
Yes,
like that's not the point of the video game. We play something someone else built. Why they build?
But
then I thought about that level of an Excite Bike where you can build your own Excite Bike course.
Come on.
And then I was like, let's go.
Let's fucking go.
Excite Bike course is the OG Minecraft. Thank you.
And that's why I started with PUBG in 2017. Because that was when games were really starting, not easy to make, but there was so much more efficiency in making games that Fortnite was able to be like, oh, this is the thing we need to do. So it's not just Battle Royale, it's Battle Royale with building. Then Apex Legends was Battle Royale, but it's 3v3 and the maps are hyper-realistic and we're also adding these abilities. And you just had this series and series of Battle Royale games after Battle Royale games. There was a Battle Royale game with Magic, Battle Royale game with like those top-down. Battle Royale was another one of these genres that everybody was trying to tackle. And it just, this is what video game development is right now. You see people taking a genre that is very popular and just drilling down. I think I used the word plaguing the video game space with the exact kind of game over and over again until players get tired of it. And then like a year later, the perfect version comes out. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that's what we should be playing.
Right. Yeah. It's almost like it's like the same way we've seen like online sketch comedy and stuff evolve too, where like, especially TikTok, like I just think back, like, let me just go back about 13 years. It's 2011. Yeah. And we had some shit called shit blank people say.
There you go.
As a comedy format. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was first like shit black guys say or shit LA people say. And then it basically turns like, oh shit, we have a format now. We can adapt to whatever the fuck we're really into. And now I feel like that's what's like, to your point about these survivor builder games too. It's like the shit Pokemon people say, this is survivor builder, blah, blah, like
precisely.
And, which totally makes sense because now our, you know, we have the ability for our tastes to be so specific. And because of the ease of development, developers are also able to kind of meet people where they're at. They're like, oh, okay, I see what y'all want. How about that? I can cook 100%. Something up. It might not be the finished thing, but it's all building towards this sort of style or I don't know, just the way the ideation has changed. And I think that's probably because, like with comedy, before the internet, it was more like, well, what do the people in these five shows think comedy is? And that was informing comedy versus the internet being like, nah, man, everybody can get in now. And we can now find audiences for every kind. So I see a lot of parallels with that.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And yeah, I think that's a really good point, Miles, about the like democratization of all these different forms of media. Like, I feel like with movies, we've seen like there was a lot of excitement around like, oh man, there's like all these sketch groups online and like that, you know, you're discovering new talent that way. And that, but I feel like that's like kind of gone away little bit. But with gaming, I feel like I could see that just theoretically, not knowing much about the industry at all. But like, that's what is exciting to me is that like, as coding becomes more and more, you know, boosted by AI, like it feels like it's going to be easier and easier for people to like everybody to like come up with an idea, like an iteration on an existing game and just like make it happen, as opposed to with movies, I feel like it's still need like good performances, right? Yeah. You still need like these things that are hard to get. And like usually you need a lot of money. So like gaming is still this like writing based, idea based thing that I could see in the near future just becoming like more democratic than any of the other like major forms of media.
Yeah. I want to highlight one other thing about the gaming space right now that I think is really fun and is what kind of like adds to the, or what adds to the, what I started with about how it is so open to any kind of experience you want to have. There's lots of games that are developed these days that are developed by one person just because they're super excited about this one prospect. A very famous example is a game called Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley is developed by one person. I wrote down this person's name, Eric Concerned Aped Barone. Now, Eric made this one game himself. It's a farming simulator, but it's also slightly a relationship
Jack,
simulator.
Don't laugh because he's Italian. Wow.
Eric Concerned Aped Barone. I was laughing at his pronunciation.
Yeah. Barone.
Concerned Ape. Ape.
Concerned that ape. Wait, and why is he Concerned Ape? That's not like
that's just
NFT
that's
shit,
just his
right?
username, Concerned Ape. It's kind of like Player Unknown. Yeah, but yeah, I just can't remember Player Unknown's name.
It wasn't like an NFT play.
There you go, exactly. Stardew Valley, a game developed by one person, as of 2022 has sold 20 million copies. It's a game that struck a nerve with people who wanted to make a farming simulator type game. And it's just one person who's doing something they love at a time when a genre wasn't exactly like it's that is not a game that was a drilled down version of a genre that was super, super popular at the moment. That was just something that struck people really strongly. Another genre of game or another developer who made a game that, again, was not something that people were looking for is a guy named Bennett Foddy. Now, he's made a web game you may have heard of called Quop, Q-W-O-P.
Yeah, the running one.
The running one. He developed the running game where all you have is QWOP to control the knees and legs of a runner. And your point is to do a 100-meter dash. And it is so poorly controlled. It is so punishingly slow and stupid that people love doing it because it's just so hard to do. He made another game called Getting Over It, where you are a naked person sitting in a black kettle with a hammer, and your whole goal is to climb up a mountain by using your hammer to propel yourself up the mountain. Right. And the entire time, Bennett Foddy is narrating why you shouldn't be doing this and why it's frustrating and how punishing the whole process is. Where does that fit on the scale of these video games? How is that a battle royale like Fortnite? Fortnite? How is that like a farming simulator like Stardew Valley? It's not. This is a guy who has a passion for making these unique experiences, the ability to do so just by being a coder and with these gaming tools. I think he made it in Unity, which is another engine similar to the Unreal Engine, and just decided to make this game that has now sold millions of copies. It is another one of these
games.
Sounds
like he also profoundly hates humankind.
You might say that.
Like a Larry David style outlook on humanity.
Yes.
Thank you. What's wrong with you?
Fuck you.
Exactly.
You got something
it's a
better
great
to
game.
Do?
Everybody should play it.
Dude, Quop is wild. I miss looking like Jordan Belfort on Quaaludes trying to run on that thing. Flopping, my man.
Yeah. It's just one of these things where it's like, you know, the world of video games almost feels, you know, less like TV and movies and almost like the world of music, where the tools to create it have become so easy to access that like while you have people who are trying to be the next Taylor Swift or trying to be the next Deadmau5 or trying to be the next Kendrick Lamar, you have people who are also just like, I made this weird song and all of a sudden that sound pops. You have people who are 100 gecs comparatively, or you have people who are just doing something that is complete, who is so different and completely off the wall. You're Sophies of the world. You're like, I don't know. Who's another like very peculiar or like unique artist right now? You get what I mean. My point is that like the tools are so easy to access and democratize.
John Mayer.
There you go.
People Lil Nas X was a good, originally was a version of that, right?
Yeah. But people who are taking these tools to make something that is unique to them, that is not necessarily being asked for at the time, but finding the right audience for it such that it becomes super popular, even if at the time it's like, what is this even for? Sure. Video games offer that lane, and that is something that makes me really excited about the future of video games. We just keep getting more stuff like that because the tools are so easy to access.
Right,
because
it's almost like, so like when someone makes a game, it's like, because I know music production and video production pretty well. It's like, because I remember if you wanted to make music, like it's like, did you have these old school production keyboards that had half the sounds that you wanted that you were hearing on the thing?
Then,
yeah, exactly. Do you have that core? You got a Triton, you know? Like,
yeah,
do you have all that
core
stuff.
Triton, exactly.
And then, but now you have more like effects packs that come out, like, you know, VSTs that give you certain keyboard sounds that you didn't have before. Is that how people are kind of making games too? Like where these are sort of like modular and you can kind of be like, okay, I need a little bit of this. I need my version of Massive, for lack of a better comparison, to making like electronic music. And so I can use that for the physics will be the game engine. And then I can use these other things. So it does feel like kind of like if you're savvy enough, there is a way to sort of like execute on like an idea because just like those elements are just there versus years before. It's like, well, do you have a 700 person team?
This is one of the last things I want to talk about. And it's one of the things that
You're just
going to
cut the episode short? Okay.
I don't know. I guess go for about like an hour or so, but anyway.
No, go ahead. This is the last thing you're going to talk about. All right, Dad.
It's related.
This is the last fucking time I'm telling
this
you.
This is the last fucking time.
Listen up, fuckwit.
Another question that Jack posed was about Disney throwing money at Epic. I'm trying to see where it was in here because I saved a place for it. Cut all this. This is all bullshit. Here we go. Okay.
Are you reading through my notes?
No.
Cut all this. This is all bullshit. Justin, you know which one I'm talking about.
You know, let's just mute channel one.
This is me thinking. Okay. This is kind of going back to Fortnite and the Unreal Engine and all of that and what, you know, they're creating with Fortnite. Disney just threw $1.5 billion, which is about like a 4-5% stake in Epic. Why are they doing that?
That's a 4% stake in Epic is $1.5 billion.
It might be less, honestly. Yeah.
I don't know how much stuff is worth anymore. I'm like,
they're an enormous company.
I know Shark Tank though. Yeah. And when you say if you came out 1.5 billy for 4%, I'd be like, get the fuck out.
Wow. Okay. It is a huge amount for not that big of a stake. But what Disney is getting out of that is this connection of their IP to things like Fortnite, the ability to use Unreal 5 to help make movies, and just like this connection into a world that people are already in all the time. Now, you've heard the term metaverse being thrown around so much.
We love it, don't we, folks?
And like Facebook wanted to make one, blah, 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 wanted to make one, but they're not.
It's crazy that he got to it first. And now, like, for so many people, when they hear metaverse, they're like, they picture Mark Zuckerberg with no legs, like Mark Zuckerberg's little avatar floating around with no legs.
Exactly.
It's like, no, this is the future. This dude just like fucked it up in the mainstream.
He just completely fucked it up. But it is funny how the branding of that kind of came to him, because people don't think of Fortnite as the metaverse. But when you can be LeBron James or Sasuke from Naruto or Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn or Peter Griffin from Family Guy as a character in Fortnite, that is the metaverse. When you and your friends are jumping into the Fortnite launcher and playing Fortnite, traditional Fortnite with no building, or a racing game developed by Psyonix, the people who make Rocket League, or they're playing a rhythm game developed by Harmonix, the people who made Rock Band, or they're making the survival crafting game in collaboration with Lego,
right?
All within one game, all within Fortnite. Fortnite is not trying to be like the best shooter. Fortnite is trying to be Nintendo. When your mom used to say, oh, are you playing that Nintendo? Fortnite is trying to be, oh, are you playing that Fortnite? Fortnite is so many different games, and it kind of is now. Not only that, like, Fortnite has their own tools built into the Fortnite engine for you to create your own game. Like, if you open up Fortnite, you'll see the main games: Fortnite No Build, Lego Fortnite, Rocket Racing, I can't remember what it's called. It's the rhythm game. It's like Main Stage or some shit like that. But then you have 15 or 16 other most popular user-created modes that you can just play that are completely different games, all built within the Fortnite engine. Like Epic Games is using Fortnite as the tip of the spear for Unreal Engine 5 to show people what you can do with this tool.
Right.
Are the people who are building those games making money? Like, are they taking...
No.
Oh, that's
wait. Can't you make money off of like a map?
You can make money off of. I'm like, you know, what, to be honest with you, I'm actually not sure.
Okay,
because
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Cut all can this. This is bullshit, Justin. This is fucking bullshit.
Check that, because if you can make money off a Fortnite map, that'd be interesting. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure they're just user generated. And it's like, if people are playing them, yes.
Well, no, the only reason I know this is because there is a player at Arsenal in the academy. He's not like in the main team yet. He's like a teenager named Ruel Walters. And he like they're like, before he got signed his professional contract, they're like, this kid was already making money on Fortnite. Because he was, he made like a super popular map.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I mean, like, if kids are making money off that, then that's even more awesome.
Yeah.
But so they're the engine that makes all of this creation possible.
Exactly.
And they're making a big chunk of the money, but like the people who are going on there and being creative are able to like get some part of it.
He said in this article in The Athletic, it's like, yeah, because of the creator code or whatever.
Oh, that's different.
Oh, what's that?
That's different. Creator code is basically a way that you can say, this person brought me here. So if you enter a creator code when you're buying a skin on Fortnite, there's a little kickback to the creator who did that to you. So he's probably streaming on Twitch and said, use my creator code. And then when you buy skins, it's a kickback to me.
He said 250 million people played his map in 1 week.
That's fucking crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, that's so wild. I was just like, I knew there was like some way, but yeah, maybe not in the official way. Sorry, go on.
Right. No, but still, but that is a whole another thing. It's just these little tools that like Fortnite or Epic Games offers just within the Fortnite engine, where it's just like, oh yeah, use my code, type in my name so that you kick back to me who you like to just buy whatever skin you're gonna buy.
Right.
And sometimes those skins are actual people, like I said, LeBron James, or even random streamers who are, you know, part of the Fortnite community, such that me...
Could
you imagine the most boring skin ever? I could. But then you have people like The Weeknd, and then you have Peter Griffin, and then you have Pickle Rick. You just have all of this IP that is within the world of Fortnite so that you can be whoever you want in the world of Fortnite whenever you're playing any of those games.
Right.
Like, that is what they're... That is the world that they're creating, that they're fostering. That is like... It's
wild how, like, interchangeable it can be, you know, because... There's so many times, like, I'll be playing a game, I'll be like, man, I wish there was just a Star Wars version of GTA.
Right.
Like, why can't I just have this look like Star Wars? And that game is coming out. Yep. But, like, with the flexibility of these other games, it's like, well, yeah, we can already just map this IP onto it. It's like, if you want to play, like, Stewie versus PETA, then fine. Do it.
There's a Darth Vader, there's a Luke Skywalker, there's an Anakin Skywalker skin in Fortnite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, so, what's...
I have a lightsaber.
So, it sounds like... Obviously, there's ease in which that people are being able to make games, and that's, you know, AI has a certain hand into that. Is like the main risk just like the voice acting stuff? Because that's the one thing I've saw consistently from like voice acting people who are like, get the fuck away from my gigs with AI, because that is a huge, huge earner for voice actors.
It's a huge thing. And that was one of the things that I wrote down, is what really worries me about AI. You know, my fears is the less human actors. If the AI is going to take over, there's no way you can script for it. Right now, it's kind of a meme that if you're thorough, you'll talk to an NPC until you're just hearing the same prompts over and over. And that means that you've exhausted all of the dialogue options and what you're, you know, the person you're talking to. Like, there's only so much that you can script with a real person. But for an actor who would then be kind of prompting an AI voice, you're going in doing one day of work, maybe even only like an hour of work. And then that AI prompt is then generating an infinite amount of responses forever.
Right.
And that's scary. That's scary. That's taking the human element out of the interaction side of video games. And that's something that's like kind of, you know, it's a bridge we're going to have to cross. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a contract that needs to be signed. It's going to need to be some sort of agreement that we have that is, you know, how we kind of control this forthcoming storm that is AI actors being part of video games, because that is real. That is very real what is going to happen.
Yeah, right.
It sounds like more and more, the more you describe it, the more it reminds me of like the media kind of content economy 10 years ago on the internet, where it's like, it's very user driven. And like, it's like all of these creative people who are somewhat anonymous are driving a lot of the innovation. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, kind of a lot of them are doing it for the love of the game. And That literally turned out well, I think. Yeah. We, you know, now we have really great websites full of top tier user generated content. And no, it obviously went horribly wrong, yeah, because nobody could like really figure out how to monetize that. Mm. And so they just like killed it, I guess.
But
so
I don't know. The difference
I was hopeful until I had that thought. I mean, I'm sure it'll just continue innovating. It is one of the ideas that was thrown out in like in reading up on AI is like they're like, well, one of the problems we have with AI is that we don't have a body for this AI, this art, you know, ChatGPT to go walk out into the world and like start getting data and feedback, like learning with its body and with its ability to move around in space. Mm-hmm. So that was just another thing that occurred to me as we were talking. It was like the NPC ChatGPT model, like in addition to being like a cool thing to play with, I could see that being prioritized by the companies, the AI companies, because that is something they're looking for, is like something, some mechanism for it to like go out and interact in the real world and like be able to kind of move around on its own.
And just get like free R&D.
Yeah, in these games, it's like a character out in this like open world.
Exactly. Yeah, but this is gonna come away thinking like they believed I was African American due to the outsized use of racial slurs I hear from young gamers. It's like I don't that data right. set is gonna be fucking poison.
It's gonna be bad.
It's gonna be bad.
Well, shit, Daniel. I feel like we could keep talking about this for weeks. But thanks for coming on.
That's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Making me less afraid of all the gaming shit that I hear. I don't know what any of it means.
Jack, did you come out of this? Is there a game now that obviously because you're up on the Nintendo? We are
up on it.
Switch. Yeah. That bitch from Switch.
Switch. Exactly. The bitch with the Switch.
Yeah. No, I'm all of them. I mean, Power World. You know, I'm gonna be all over Power this shit. Fortnite. Hell yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
Have you played Fortnite? Fortnite's scary to me because I feel like I just like go in and get shot in the head like immediately. But if there are all these derivations and like racing games and stuff like that is intriguing to me.
You'll be like, yeah, we'll all be playing together. And you're like, can we not do the battle? Or can we just do like the racing
just
one?
Guys.
The racing's good. Racing's good.
It's like Mario Kart. LeBron! What? You can't shoot me in this. This is the racing one you said specifically.
Hell yeah.
Anyways, Daniel, what a pleasure. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
I think the last time I was on the show, I said I am divorcing myself from social media entirely, but you can still find me on Instagram and Twitch at DJ_Daniel.
Yeah.
And I do have a piece of social media that I did want to share that I thought was really fucking funny, but I also wanted to share an actual game recommendation, something that I am enjoying personally that I think everybody who likes video games should play. It's on both PlayStation and it's on PC, and it's a game called Helldivers 2. Now, that game is, if you've seen the movie Starship Troopers, it's that, but a video game, and with all of the humor wrapped in it. It's so great. You're going to different planets and spreading democracy by shooting bugs in the face, and it rules. 4-player PvE. It is great. Full stop. Great game.
What can you download it on?
On PlayStation. I mean, on the PlayStation Store, on Steam, wherever you want.
Wow.
It rules. It's so good.
Let's play that.
And my piece of social media is from John Foley at 2008 Phils, Phils. And it's the picture of Travis Kelce yelling at Andy Reid right here. But the text above it is, "Hold on, hold on. Her sister was a witch, right? That was her sister, a princess, the Wicked Witch of the East, bro. You're going to look at me and tell me that I'm wrong? I'm wrong? She wore a crown and came down in a bubble, dog." Classic.
That was a wild moment.
I fucking love that. That's one of my favorite bits of internet content.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Miles, where can people find you? What's the work media you've been enjoying?
Find me on the app-based platforms at Miles of Gray. Hell, even on PlayStation Network, where I occasionally pop up now and then in between my parental duties. And also find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack on Mad Boosties. Or if you come to the Atlanta headquarters of iHeart Podcast, you will see posters up on the wall, which is really nice to see.
Miles and Jack,
that's cool.
Miles
and Jack, hell yeah. Boosties. What else? Also find me on 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexander talking about 90 Day Fiancé. Okay. A tweet I like. I do like a tweet. It's from Jesse Dugan. And this tweet is very interesting because it's from the Super Bowl. So forgive me for the delay here on this entire.
We're a week after the Super Bowl and we are giving you that Super Bowl content.
Because there's a photo of Reba McEntire about to go to the Super Bowl. She's wearing a fur jacket and cowboy boots. And her tweet was boots with the fur, # Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. And then Jesse Dugan tweeted, okay, this is the first time I've considered that the boots themselves did not have the fur. And yeah, I think the 187,000 people that liked it were also like,
so fun.
Holy shit, we were thinking of
with fur. The fur.
But is it just wearing your boots with the fur coat?
Right.
Anyway, we love a bit of simple breakdowns of the lyrics. So yeah, shout out to you.
Damn. Am I going to have to do a Super Bowl tweet too?
No.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Work of media, I've been enjoying the latest episode. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
He's melting down, folks.
Abe Epperson?
Uh-oh. The latest Epperson. Work of media, I've been enjoying the latest episode of Las Culturistas, sister podcast, has Tina Fey on it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's probably the second most recent by now, by the time you hear it.
Good one.
Great to hear from Tina Fey again. Mm-hmm. Great episode. Tina Fey is just fits right in, just hops right into the Double Dutch and knows all the references, is media obsessed, and it's just a lot of fun to hear. Matt and Bowen and Tina Fey kick it around, so you can go check that out.
I Don't Think So, Honey.
Woo! So good.
That was good. Yeah. That was really good.
She's like, fucking you can't
ether.
Say your honest
ether.
Opinion.
Got his ass. Got his ass. God, what did she say? She's like, your new friends are Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, Ariana Grande and Elmo.
I Don't Think So, Honey was like that. So he can't he can't say his honest opinion on movies anymore.
Yeah, honesty is a luxury for the world.
Yeah. Honesty is a luxury and something like about when how you're popping, it's like not worth it, basically.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Man,
it's like, no,
when are
honesty
we
is expensive. I think that's what it is. Honesty is expensive.
Honesty is expensive.
Yeah,
that's what it is. So, well, that's a lesson we'll learn one of these days, I'm sure. Yes. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song you think people might enjoy?
I think, well, look, I'm feeling, look, like I said, I'm an old head. And I was thinking about Timbaland and Magoo. You know? Love to love you. Love to love you. Anyway, I just heard a remix on SoundCloud that was just like, sometimes people do remixes that just give a song a whole new way of like new bounce to it that you really weren't seeing. And this is it. It's by Mike Nasty, and it's just called Love to Love, like in the song, but that's L-U-V, the number two, then L-U-V. It's a SoundCloud-only joint, so you're going to have to go on SoundCloud, like us real backpackers, so you can find that real shit. But it's dope. This is Love to Love by Mike Nasty, the Timbaland Magoo remix.
Link off to it in the footnotes,
but
so you can go right there. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hold up. Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.